Well, that must mean it's 2 o'clock, 2:07 to be precise, on a Friday afternoon, a rainy Friday afternoon. I love rainy weekend days. Not maybe every weekend day rainy, but it's been so long that I would take consecutive rainy weekend days.
Especially since the temperature's barely getting to 70 today, and it feels like, ooh, maybe we're getting to fall.
Do you use a fireplace in your home?
Yeah, we do.
Do you use a fireplace?
No, we don't have one, and I want one so bad.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing about my house, is a fireplace that you hit a switch and it's on, and you just, I try to keep the house around 70 maybe during non-winter, but if I'm sitting next to the fireplace, it'll be like 80 degrees and Jared's like walking around with barely anything on, like, you have to turn the fire off. And I'm like, but it's so cozy.
Yeah, my wife wants to turn on the fireplace, not turn on, because we just have a wood-burning fireplace. You can't really turn it on, but she wants that thing going pretty much when August 4th hits.
It's a mood.
Yeah, it's like, okay, now it's fall, right? No, we're still in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I'm very much a fan of the fireplace, and I'm always like inching towards like, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Can I leave the air conditioner on and the fireplace at the same time? The answer is always no.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to with fall is chili. I don't eat chili all summer, and then when fall hits, I'm like, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Let's get some chili and some peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
Do you really eat chili and peanut butter sandwiches together?
Yeah.
I know it's a thing, but I think you're trying to speak to a certain language to people.
I am.
You're trying to pose.
But I'm posing, but I also do that. So I would have to be posing even in my private life.
When was the first time that you ate a peanut butter sandwich with chili?
I think from birth. And when I was old enough to eat chili, I was eating peanut butter sandwiches with chili. You know, we've talked about this.
I don't believe you.
You should, because I think we've had this discussion enough falls now that we've had people write in that we've traced this over the last few years to Granite City Schools is where it started, like in the 40s and 50s.
Did you
apparently
go to Granite City Schools?
No, my dad did.
Oh.
And he made chili. He still makes chili. So I think that we've been eating it all this time, and we were maybe the early adopters.
It's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing. I'll give you that.
I can honestly tell you I have never had a peanut butter sandwich with chili.
You do need to try it.
I don't know if I do.
I'll tell you the other thing. You really need to get a chili that's not leaning toward the stew side, because the kind of thicker chilies don't work as well with a peanut butter sandwich.
It's the only way to eat chili.
No, you can get one with the, like the famous Ohio chili.
Skyline
chili. Skyline, it's got a lot of de juice. No. I don't really know what you call it.
It's bad chili.
But that makes for better peanut butter sandwich dipping.
I'd rather just have better chili.
I'm just telling you I'm telling you the facts of life.
Rick says chili by itself. Don't need any PB&J.
I don't blame you. I'm just saying it's good.
Do you eat jelly with your peanut butter?
No.
So it's a peanut butter sandwich.
Peanut butter sandwich.
PB&J.
No, it's not PB&J.
You guys ready for Ask Us Anything?
Ready when you are.
What about when Mike Pensive is ready?
What about next question?
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
All right. The first question is going to come from, I just highlighted it, and it's about something you just said, and it's from Todd. And he says, ask me anything. Chili, beans, or no beans?
Beans all day.
Traditional chili is not supposed to have beans, but I want beans in my chili, so beans.
Wait, traditional from where?
From chili con carne.
Well, you can have meat and beans in it.
Yeah, but traditional chili is not supposed
chili
to have it.
Chili con carne is chili with meat.
That's what...
That would be chili...
Yes.
With beans. Meat.
That's
not,
with meat.
Not
that's,
chili ace carne, which is chili is meat.
But that's what chili is. That's what chili is short for, chili con carne.
Which I will go back to the con, meaning with. Mm. I don't agree.
Mm.
Might be a Freeburg thing. You know the Great War of Freeburg and Granite City?
Great War of Freeburg and
Granite. I do. I caught right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Spanish-speaking Freeburg.
Yeah.
I suppose if you took the beans out of the chili, but the rest of the stuff was still in there, I'd still eat it. But chili has beans. That's why they're called chili beans.
Yeah, I'll
it's
eat
right
my,
there in the name.
Here's the thing. I don't want it with no beans, but I'll take any magical musical fruit in my chili.
How many do you have?
Any musical fruit.
Which are...
Beans.
What?
Beans.
What defines a magical fruit?
Anything that
I think
the,
it depends on the person.
Anything
I think
that
the person
more
defines
eat.
The musical food. Yeah. Todd says con carne means with meat. Texas chili has no beans, but that's a kind of chili. I don't think that. I've never heard that chili inherently has defaults to no beans. I don't know. You said you had some good questions for the next question. What do you got?
How much does the NFL take up brain space for you throughout any given week or weekend?
Is there an answer less than zero?
There's not.
Zero.
Zero. You don't care at all. Nobody around you cares.
I mean, like, the fact that you brought it up agitates me.
Wow. So that would be...
It makes me mad.
You're actively trying to make it zero.
No, it is zero. I'm trying to find out ways to make it more zero.
Make it stay zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Screw the NFL and Stan Kroenke.
Mine's slightly more than Annie's because I like to make fun of Dallas Cowboy fans, so I look for memes.
Wow. So it's a little bit.
Just maybe a half a percent,
you know,
but it's just finding memes dunking on Dallas Cowboy fans.
It's not a logo. It's a rating. One star.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I just took my guys' trip with some guys that really, a couple of them are really into at
you
least
big
a couple
Broncos
teams.
Fan now?
No, we had nothing to do with the Broncos. But,
huge Rockies fan, though.
You know, I'm getting.
You said
there.
About Charlie Blackmon?
Did he retire? Did he leave the organization?
Retire your hat.
See, I don't know. I mean, I know he plays for the Rockies, but I don't know anything about him.
Not anymore.
I enjoyed watching them enjoy it, and I remember enjoying it. I have nothing to do with it anymore. So I almost like was lamenting the fact that. Oh, yeah, the NFL used to be kind of fun, but I have no interest.
Russell said, Annie is starting to sound like Frank with the NFL. I am. I am deranged about it. I'm very angry about it, and I'm not over it either. Woman scorned. You got a question, Brad?
Sure. Annie, how many days are till Christmas?
Gosh, a little heads up.
Well, my question is 89 days till Christmas. What are some of your favorite holiday traditions that you did while growing up?
I've talked about this many times. I always went to my grandma's house and helped her decorate for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. We'd have Thanksgiving meal Thursday night at her house. I'd spend the night, and the next day we would dress her house for Christmas. She would always, like, we'd do as much as we could, but she would never turn the lights on outside until December 1st. And I was always like, well, why are we doing this now? So decorating with my grandma. Now I just want to decorate as much as I possibly can. Other than that, you know, like, there's something magical about Christmas church. There's something magical about going and singing the traditional Christmas carols in church while you know that there are presents waiting for you to get home. Candlelight service, I remember doing that when I was little. So those are a few.
I have a feeling that after November 5th, we are gonna need a little Christmas right this very minute.
I'm gonna have to transition quickly. And in 2020, I went hard on it. It was like, I can't do this every day.
Yeah.
I can't. And the news was changing every day. And there was an element of people, remember, pushing like, no, Trump's still gonna win. Trump's still gonna win. And I kept thinking, I'm not banking on this at all. You could go back. I think it's still up, possibly. The live stream. I stayed up till 3 a.m. that night broadcasting live by myself. Like, there were literally people on my live stream that fell asleep on the live stream. And I stayed up, and things were turning, and I'm like, I don't feel good about this. And I felt like from that moment on that it was not going to happen, and it was a drudge to move through. And so I'm going to double up on the Christmas time. Even if Trump wins, I'm not prepared emotionally for him to win. I am constantly in preparation for him to lose emotionally, just so that I'm ready. But if he wins, this country is, I think they're gonna be some very visibly unhappy people about it.
Yeah, I just don't get the sense that there's a contingent of people that are gonna just shrug and just go home. Okay, Trump won. I will say that we are not above you getting on our live stream and just falling asleep. Like, we prefer that you listen.
Well, I mean, like, they were They were on the screen with. They were part of the show,
oh.
Which is different.
Oh.
When I was having conversations with people, and I'm like, I think they're asleep. I guess I'll just keep talking.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's because you were at Disney World.
Accidentally. Because we planned that trip in May, and then COVID destroyed it.
You rescheduled your trip for Election Day.
Yeah, we did.
And you didn't realize until...
like the week before.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be gone on Election Day.
Yeah. Crazy year.
Next question.
I do have one more. And I wrote this before we had the caller who mentioned it. I want credit for it. Which Trump item would you be most inclined to buy?
I'd wear sneakers.
They're $400.
So wait, do I have to...
You got to buy them.
Yeah. I'm not buying them.
Which one would you be most inclined if somebody said, you have to buy one
a
of
hat.
Those?
I've bought a hat from them.
No, it's got to be between the ones that he's released
recently.
Can you
give me all of the parameters before I answer the question, please?
I will, and this can be the poll for Monday, too. Would it be the sneakers, the coins, the Bibles, or the digital trading cards?
How much does the coin cost? Like 30, 40 bucks? Is that the cheapest one?
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Okay, fine. I see your priorities.
I don't want to buy. I'm not spending any of that money.
Yeah.
Brad.
Yeah, I'm buying the coin too because it's the cheapest one.
It's got a head and a tail. If I ever start volleyball officiating again, I'd flip it.
I was going to say the coin too, but not because it was the cheapest, because I thought it was the coolest of before.
Donald Trump's coin should have a head, which should be Donald Trump's head, yeah. And then a tail, which is... his opponent.
And it does have real silver in it, which means if Kamala wins, it'll go up in price.
I like
so you're kind of hedging
like,
your bets.
I was going to say, I like the hedge.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Bobo says, if you could only eat one color of food for the rest of your life, what color would it be? Ryan?
Probably brown. I like meat. That's usually brownish. Buns are kind of brown. Bread is brownish.
I bet your buns aren't brown.
After every night I go home.
Tan your buns.
He browns them.
I go for a bronzing.
Bronzing.
But since we're talking colors.
You saw that tanner for me. You're just doing your butt. It's like the reverse farmer's tan. And it's a secret. Yeah. Nobody knows.
I only tan under my clothes.
So you feel better about yourself when you get in the shower.
I wear reverse clothing. I wear just sleeves out to the beach. Yeah, chocolate. See, brown. Chocolate is brown. And I'm trying to think of other things that are kind of brown. But I'm a big, big fan of eating the brown. Give me a hot brown.
Brad.
It's the same.
You're brown?
I was thinking about, I was like, what color is hamburger and steak? Brown.
It's brown.
I would like to say green because I think that's the most healthy, but I don't think that you can get enough...
K-A-O-Z.
It's the Green New Deal. I don't think you can eat enough green to sustain a healthy habit. I might say white.
Egg yolk.
No.
Greek yogurt is...
Yogurt.
Egg white. Yeah. Ice cream.
Ice cream. What color is that?
Brown.
Oh, that's brown, huh?
You gotta take the icing out of the oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah,
you
gotta take it out of the package.
All right, we'll take more of your questions when we come back on Next Question here on The Annie Fry Show. So stick around, get on The Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We want to know what you think about the poll today, which is, when should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? What do you think? High school? Middle school? Anytime or never? Annie Fry YouTube channel, come say hi in the live chat. Vote, leave a comment, leave a question. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. So we got Night of Rockstars tonight. I'm so excited to be a part of this event again. I've got a beautiful dress. I've gotten a makeup appointment at my house at 3:30. So I got to get out of here and get there fast because they usually say they need about an hour. And I have to be at the venue, like ready to work at 5:30 p.m. I don't have much time.
Okay.
I have to do my hair in here. I've got my curlers on. Have you ever been around someone who's using curlers?
Yeah, I used to use them.
In the 80s. What's wrong with your eyes?
Just one.
I don't know. I just got like something in my contact. I don't know. Like, am I blinking weird or something?
You looked for a second like you were about to short circuit.
Yeah, I'm just kind of blinking this thing out. No, I used to use curlers. I know, as like you know,
said, I'm trying to blinking this thing out.
I'm gonna go ahead and just finish this joke real quick.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I, yeah, with as you know, I don't have a whole lot of hair on the top of my head, just enough. But I do have on my back, so I use them on my back. See, it was a decent joke.
How? Maybe if we wouldn't have interrupted it. How much of what we do on a daily basis here is your wife aware of?
I'd say about 0 to 1%.
So do you feel like unfettered? Like you can do and say things here?
Pretty much.
That
yeah.
You don't have repercussions.
Now, if we were on after 3, she'd hear most of it.
Would she listen?
That's a good question. I don't know. She might listen more because she'd know that she would need to be aware of what was happening, but she cannot listen when we're on because she's working.
Is there anything you've ever had to like really sit her down and explain from the show that, because I think we all probably have had conversations where something has left the show. We put it out there for you. I think that it's important for people to understand that we, well, I'm going to speak for myself. You guys can confirm this. It feels like we're 3 people who sit down every day to have a 3-person conversation for 3 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until we take phone calls and we're like, oh, hey.
Oh, why are you listening?
Or we go to Ruler Foods.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody shows up. But then you start hearing people, you go talk to people and they're like, oh, I listen all the time or whatever. It's amazing to know that there are that many people out there. But yet it doesn't always occur that when we talk about something that people are going to talk to our spouses. All 3 of our spouses are teachers. So it's our show is perfectly slotted to be married to teachers where we can talk about them. And they probably won't know what we say.
Yeah, it's great. It's the perfect time slot.
But then sometimes people bring it up.
It gets out. So yeah, there was one time, and I don't remember what the topic was, but I remember walking into a marriage conference, like we were going to a Christian marriage conference, and the person at the door said something that I had said that day or that week, and it was like
local, then like a church conference.
Yeah, it was a church conference around here. It's like a Valentine's Day thing that my church does. And we were going, it's like a, you know, it's a Friday night and then a Saturday thing. And then you go on a date Saturday night or something. So we show up at the first session Friday
night.
Sounds lovely. It's great.
You didn't sell me on that. It's great.
It's great. We enjoy it. We walk in and the lady at the door says something. And I wish I could remember what it was, but it was something I had said that week. And that thing became the topic that me and her had to discuss at the conference that
what?
The next 2 days. Yeah, I mean, it was funny, but she was like, really? Oh, should I know more about this?
Now, was it about when you're talking about your second wife?
That's what I'm coming to now.
Oh, no. Does she know?
So because now if you're turning in right now and you're like, what are you talking about? So the last, for whatever reason, these things, like we don't write any jokes other than like the produced material that we made for, say, the
which
male
we do,
clinic.
I would say maybe quarterly.
Yeah, not often. Whenever we have something like that that's written and produced, you know it. Anything else is just happening live. And then we might make it a running joke if we think it's funny enough. That's one of those that whenever I talk about my wife in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks.
It's just been since we were in the other studio.
We just refer, you go, you're talking about Katie? And I'm like, no, my other wife. So, like, I'm deflecting. I'm not talking about her. Don't go talk to her. I'm
Wait,
talking
so you don't
about
have two wives?
The other random wife that I have that nobody knows about. So this became a running joke enough that I had to sit down with Katie and say,
just
now
in
listen.
Case.
Because we went on a date for my birthday on Saturday, I was like, listen, if somebody ever comes up to you, because people at her school listen, and in life, they will come up to her and say things sometimes. If you ever hear about my second wife, I need to tell you the origin of how that became
you
a joke.
You say, don't worry about it, you're my third.
Right, yeah.
Just rest assured, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah, just know that
just
whenever I'm out on business that's not real, that I had to get ahead of that just in case it ever came up. Because
her name is Big Deborah.
That could... yeah.
What did she
her
say?
Name is the C.
What did she say? In my mind, wife number one just looks at you regularly and like kind of half rolls her eyes, half smiles because of she knows who you are. And then she's like, okay, let's get back to important things.
Yeah, it is, because don't let her kid you. She loves the fact that we talk about her on the radio.
She likes it?
She hates the way we talk about her on the radio.
Wait. We?
We. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys are definitely participants in this.
No. You bring up your wife. What do I always say to you when you start telling a story about your wife?
You always say, Ryan, stop treating her with such respect and give us the
Knock
real
it off.
Story.
Brad, what do I always say to him when he starts talking about
Does
his wife?
Your wife know that you're saying this?
Do you have permission? Does she know? And you always go, and then you tell something that I'm thinking, she doesn't know.
Yeah, and she usually doesn't, and she never will. But the second wife thing, I just figured this probably deserves an explanation before it gets out.
And did she?
She rolled her eyes a little bit. Laughed a little bit, and then seemed a little bit offended, and then moved on.
Did you tell her, and then you go to her, you say, well, I just made a joke about having a second wife so that I could talk about silly things that you do on the air without it being attributed to you.
That's exactly what I said. And she's like, how do I take this? Although, you know, we were heading out again. That was my birthday. We were going out to watch Am I Racist? We went out to Andrea's. It was a great night. In the midst of somewhere in there, she goes, you know what would be fun again is if we did that. And she couldn't remember the name of the event, but it was an event that Trees of Hope. Yep. She goes, the Christmas tree event. And I said, I can't think of the name of it either.
That's when we became best friends.
Trees of Hope. She goes, we should do that again. She had a really good time at that event. And you know why?
Because of me.
Yeah, because you guys made me out to be a bad guy for not getting her the drink she wanted.
Well, you were being a wuss about it. She wanted a drink, and you were like, I don't want to pay for it.
No, it was the line.
Yes,
the line had gotten so long.
And you didn't want to pay for it.
I think I had already gotten her a couple drinks, and
not the one she wanted.
Then we went back to the line and was like, oh, no, now it's a mile long.
You got her the cheap drinks, the ones you would allow her to have. Not the one she wanted. She wanted, I remember this. Did she not want a lemon drop?
Was it limoncello?
Limoncello?
Limoncello.
That's what she wanted.
Yeah, but she didn't know that when I went up there the first time. So it's not as if she said, let me get a limoncello.
Yeah,
and I said, no,
you got her
it's
a
too
drink.
Pricey.
You got her a drink that she didn't want to drink. She tasted it. She didn't like it. She wanted a limoncello. And you told her, like she was looking at her broccoli, you drink that before I get you the limoncello. And we were like, that's not necessary. She's a grown woman. She should just be able to have the limoncello she wants.
I did do that part where I said, look, I got those drinks. It was the drink you did want, but now you don't like it. So somebody's going to have to drink that drink. Look, I'm a depression era kid.
You are not.
And so I hate waste. I hate waste. And so if I order something at Trees of Hope, again, I'm not going to waste that drink.
So she got a limoncello.
Yeah, she got a limoncello because you and Jared went and bought her one.
I didn't. My husband just did.
Yeah, Jared bought my wife a drink.
It's because you wouldn't.
You could have.
And you just said that she just in the last week or two said she wanted to have another night like that.
Yeah, she did.
And have a good time with us doing those types of things. So I think we did the right thing.
I have to live with her. You guys got to have one.
Your words, you get to live with my best friend.
You guys got to have one night where you spoiled her like a grandparent, and then you went off to your corner.
Time out. You don't want to spoil your wife?
No. Brad, I don't. I want her to live within our means. Like an American dealing with inflation.
You want her to live within her allowance.
You can spoil her and live within your means, but Ryan, that might mean that you have to go without something.
Oh, no. No. I don't think that you realize who is the fiscally responsible one in this relationship.
Oh, I bet you're going to tell us. Go on.
Yeah, it's me. She will admit that she has very, very, in her words, good taste.
Yeah. I understand that.
That means that she has expensive tastes without trying to. I will admit.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That she just.
Paying for quality is better than paying.
Yeah.
You're
she,
the opposite.
She gravitates toward the stuff that's much better quality and
probably lasts longer.
She's going
probably
to
a better investment.
Cost us more money in the process. I have to balance that out because if we were both like that, we would be broke and living in a shanty. Do you want us to live in a shanty, Annie?
No, she can come live with me. She'll be fine. Have you thought about what you're saying on the air right now? About
no, you're curling your hair and stuff, and I thought, well, let's make it a segment.
Nobody listening to the radio right now knows that I'm combing my hair.
They do. You said it like twice before this hour.
I didn't bring it up now.
Not now,
no.
But you teased that you were going to be teasing your hair.
About how your wife doesn't live within your means and how she didn't deserve that limoncello, even though she's thinking about it a year later. And in the midst of all of these conversations, you just throw in there that I'm combing my hair.
Yeah, you're combing your hair.
I'm not combing my hair.
I think at the beginning of this, you said you had to get ready because you had so little time.
Yeah, but I didn't talk about the fact
that
I was...
You didn't specifically mention the hair in this segment?
No, I guess I was just waiting for you. How's my hair look?
If you want to check out Annie's hair, this is the time to do it. Because it's a little cray.
What are you talking about?
One side of it is just like a thing sticking out.
Do you see Kate's comment there? She's correcting you. Can you read
that? She is curling her hair.
Yes, that's correct. I'm putting curlers in my hair.
I don't know how this works.
It works like
you said. You curled your back hair.
Yeah, but
I do, but I can't see it.
Yeah,
like watching Annie do it, I'm like, what's going on? Because I always look in the mirror to do mine through reverse.
I want to bring. Have you been having dreams about this? This to me over here.
Yeah.
Looks like something that Ryan Wiggins thinks about when he's alone.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So
that's like Magical Mystery Tour. I'm flying through the air and I'm going through a candy basket.
Sweet chocolate rewards.
Sweet chocolate rewards. Sweet chocolate rewards.
So we also talked about a few weeks ago the Adonai Ministry fundraiser. Brad, you went to that,
yeah,
the golf scramble,
yeah, we went
and the music thing. That was when my daughter and our volleyball team played in a big tournament in Belleville, which we won, by the way. We were really excited to do that. So I couldn't make it out there. I had every intention of getting out there if we got done with the tournament in time, but we played the last game of the tournament, and I couldn't make it out. Talk about, this goes to help educate and train nurses in, I think, Guatemala.
Yes.
And my friend Tim and Nikki were in here, and they were talking about it to try to get people to come out. What tell us about the experience.
Yeah, so it's at the, I think it's called the American Legion.
Yep. Post 9/11.
And it's on the hill in Edwardsville. So we pull up in there, and they've got a 9-hole golf course, which is kind of cool. And they did the golf scramble. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put together a team, and we're going to go play golf. So I called some of my buddies. We went out there. When you roll up, you know, you park, you get ready, you go sign in.
Ryan knows about that.
Yeah. Roll up.
Sign in. And they had this
huge... Better to roll up than to burn out.
They had this huge table full of baskets that you could bid on. They had 50-50 raffles. They had a whole bunch of stuff like that going on. They had a guy there selling barbecue that was going to donate a portion of the profits to the ministry. And then they have a little pavilion with people set up on the outside. And people put in, they have bands. They had different musical acts, and they were there playing songs and having a good time, and people were dancing. So think of it as like a picnic.
Kind of like a festival.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, like a festival slash picnic type thing with a golf scramble attached to it. And it was a really good time. The shotgun started. We played golf. We aren't good, but we had a blast. And that I would say that's mostly the way I would describe it.
Well, our friend Balls, who is one of our number one fans.
He's a famous listener.
Yes, he is. Everybody knows him. The charity is Aid for Adonai, so you can look that up as well. But you don't make this a short.
don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, no, I will tell you that. I will tell you what not to do.
What's up with her hair?
He bid on this candy basket. And then he was like, I don't really want that candy basket. I want the show to have it. So he donated. He won the basket. It came with a travel GHR, gift certificate, which is $100 off an all-inclusive vacation. I'm going to give this back to him so he can use it. But Travel GHR, you guys can check out that great travel agency. Nikki runs that, and she's amazing, and I would trust her with every detail of planning a vacation for me. They have this candy basket. So we have... It has everything in it. I'm really curious about this, though. Is a lollipop like this?
That's what I would call a lollipop.
That's not the question I was asking. I know that this is a lollipop. Is a lollipop like this? It's like a cartoon kind of a sucker, like a big circle, swirls of color. Is this something that you would eat?
I don't really eat those, but my kids do.
Would you eat something like this?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it kind of tastes like the colored candy canes that you get that aren't peppermint.
Would you eat this?
Not like on a stick.
Yeah,
I would break pieces off of it.
You gotta
eat it.
If you're gonna eat that, you gotta do it wearing like just a diaper and a beanie.
Like a little Dutch boy costume. Yeah.
So for you, just like lunch.
Yeah.
Well, you can take this to your kids or Brad.
Or Brad.
You guys
can eat it.
Brad can eat it. I do not want my kids to have this.
It's so big, those big lollipops. They're like novelty.
How long does it take to eat this?
I don't know.
Has it ever been done?
I've seen my son eat one over the span of like 7 days. So like he'll get one of those things at a Six Flags or something just because he knows it's big.
How many calories do you think are in this sucker?
I'd say probably...
I mean, it's about 4 inches in diameter.
400 calories in that sucker.
I'm going to say there's 800 in it.
There's 60 calories per serving, but it says that there are 8 servings. So 480 calories. So you're pretty close.
Thank you.
You can have it. You win it.
I want it.
We should do that.
Hooray!
The rest of the thing. So I wanted to say thank you to Aid for Adonai, which is a great charity that you should absolutely... I mean, when you talk about donating money to something that's going to train nurses in foreign countries, that, and it's like $800 or something... it might not even be that. It's off the top of my head. We'll fund the education for a nurse. And in these areas, these third world countries and these super remote areas, a nurse literally can be the difference in something that just needs some basic first aid before it gets infected and all that type of stuff can save lives. And Travel GHR. We appreciate Nikki putting this on here. And I'm going to get this gift certificate to Balls and this sucker to the Wiggins kids. Can't wait for them to eat up on this.
they're going to be very excited about
that. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with the poll question results. Have you voted yet? We need to know what you think. When should parents talk to underage children about elections and candidates? High school, middle school, anytime, or never? We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Annie Fry is here. We are also here. How are you so good at this? Because when you open the mic, you're like, oh, I got stuff to talk about. But then I just opened it and I said, we're here. And I couldn't think of anything else because there's nothing else happening in the world.
You just asked off air, why are we signing bombs?
Okay, I did ask that. Why are we autographing bombs? And apparently there's a long history of... people doing this.
Yeah, they used to do this in World War II. They would write, this one's for Hitler and that sort of thing on the bombs and stuff like that. It's a morale thing.
Was it like part of the mainstream media?
Yeah, they used it in propaganda films before, like, you know, they used to show...
Now we're just like, are you signing a bomb or signing a check? It's hard to tell.
Yeah. And when it's for Ukraine, I just don't know. We're so removed from this because all the information we get about that war is filtered through so many different lenses that I don't even know what to believe. Like, how's the war going right now? I have no idea because I don't know who to trust to listen to on it.
The YouTube live chat poll for today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? High school, middle school, anytime or never? Well, let's go over our answers here real quick. Brad, you can go first this time. Your thoughts on, you've been a teacher, you are a youth pastor. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm still of the mindset that it should be anytime, but it should be age-appropriate conversations. And the conversation, to Ryan's point earlier in the show, is you want to help your kids... and the students and whoever, you want to help them develop a thinking mindset. You don't want to tell them what to think. You want to help them figure out how to start asking those questions and think for themselves and that sort of thing. And as you get older, as your kids get older, you get to have more and more adult style conversations with them where you can actually start talking about policy and stuff like that. But like with your youngest kids, it's basically going to be like, this is how we pick the president.
If I quit right now, this is kind of Flock of Seagulls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can run so far away. Just do that. There's a really cute video. This is the first time I remember talking to my kids about politics. But and I mentioned two years old because I have a video somewhere of my son. And he couldn't read yet, obviously. He's 2 years old. But he had memorized the position on the ballot. And I would just have this little ballot. I don't remember if it was something I got in the mail or what. And it just had, it had all the candidates and everything. But I just had the presidential part. And I would go, okay, tell me who the candidates are this year. And it was so cute because he's two. He'd go, Donald Trump. And then I'd say the next one, and he'd go,
have they seen that?
Hillary Clinton.
Since they're older?
I, it's somewhere. It's not on my current phone because it's a new phone, so I got to find it. But
you know, if you use Samsung and Google, that'll all be stored for you.
Duh. Of course I knew that. Then he, I get down to the lower one, and I, the one that always made me laugh is when I got to, okay, who's this one? And he goes, Jill Stein.
It's the only two-year-old to know Jill Stein.
Yeah,
exists.
Jill Stein. And I think there was it Gary Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Gary Johnson. It was all of them on there. It was just cute, and I saw it videotaped it somewhere. I have to find that video.
When's the right time? You said anytime?
I said anytime, yeah.
What do you, I mean, I've had... I've heard this multiple times. I don't know. It's kind of something that you said, too, when we were discussing the importance of being appropriate with the age, but still being open to the conversation at any age. There is a lot of political talk that my kids are exposed to. And it's not like when we were growing up. This stuff is everywhere. Mm-hmm. In the middle of volleyball practice yesterday, they started saying they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs.
Who said that?
I'm not going to give details.
So just random people?
No, my players.
Okay, okay.
And I don't bring any of that stuff up. And I'm like, I just looked at them and I go, do you know who said that? And they're like, Trump. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't stop them. And I didn't like encourage it or discourage it or whatever. But, you know, I always think about these debates, the convention, interviews. It's never about the original experience of whatever happened. It's about what happens on social media afterwards. And people who aren't in the political game underestimate the way culture drives this type of stuff, where they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, becomes something that 12-year-old girls know of and are aware of and are talking about. They're not discussing border policy. And I don't know that they are even aware of any of that stuff. I don't bring it up with them. But they absolutely are aware of what's going on. And if you do not have the conversations with those kids, you're missing out that they are being confronted with it everywhere in whatever way the internet decides to present to them.
That's true, not just, I mean, the having the conversations thing is true of basically anything. So that's why I answered any time to this poll with kids, because I'll talk about pretty much whatever my kids is on their mind, age appropriately. You mm-hmm. know, you got to be able to address them where they're at. But the social media thing, you're 100% right that the national conversation that happens is not based on what people actually said at the debate. It's what people were saying after the debate happened that influencers are out there talking about whatever. That's why Joe Biden's age became such a concern, because people were constantly talking about that. This kind of stuff is what drives the narrative, and not just among kids. This is what America pretty much has a perception of these people based on that stuff.
I really hope that people feel comfortable about broaching those conversations. I played that clip a little bit earlier of CNN having those conversations with children. And one of the questions that the reporter asked these children, and those kids to me look to be between 7 and 9 probably, was, would your parents, if it was a Trump supporter supported family, like if the kids identified that their family supported Trump, they said, would your parents let you go over to someone's house who supported Kamala, and vice versa with Harris supporting people? Would you let them go over to a house where they supported Trump? And Anderson Cooper reported that kids who came from Harris homes were 5 times more likely for their parents to disallow them to associate with Trump kids.
It's wild.
If your kids know that you support Trump, and I think that they should be aware of a general idea of what you support, because, like I said, it's out there. If your kids know you support Trump, they're going to hear about these things, and they need to know enough to be able to not care what other kids say, or maybe even to push back a little bit. The
so
YouTube live chat poll,
tolerance.
250 votes in today's poll. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? 2% said never. Love to see that. 17% said wait till high school. 30% of you said middle school. And 51% said anytime. I like the results of that poll. All right, my hair is all curled. I'll post a picture on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page and Annie Fry Show Twitter account when I get all done. Mark Reardon next.